down upon us and give us grace in your sight, Lord. Minister to this congregation, O Lord. Amen, God, you know everything about us. The word says that you know every hair upon our head. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister, Lord, as you see the need. God, that you would pour out your spirit upon us, O Lord. That you would bring salvation, O Lord. Amen. Let us experience salvation, Lord. Deliverance, O God. Healing, Lord. Amen, God. You will work, O Lord, in our midst. Let our hearts, Lord, be turned towards you. Let our ears be open, Lord, that we may hear. And our eyes, that we may see, Lord. And our hearts, O God, that we can be converted unto you. So I pray, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to touch every soul, every heart in this place. Amen, Lord. Let your spirit fall upon us. God, we lift up tonight, Lord. We lift up Brother John Hart, Lord. We ask that you be with him. Touch his body, O God. Amen, Lord. Help him, Lord. Strengthen and heal him. Amen, Father. Brother Chuck Marshall, Sister Linda Marshall. God, reach out and touch them, Lord. Marsha, call me, O God. Do a work, O Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, O Master. Maria, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. And God, we pray for him. Amen. Turn right, Lord. We pray for him, God. You know his need, O Lord. Minister unto them, Lord. All those, God, who are absent. All those who are with us, Lord, in this place. God, you know their need, Lord. You know their situation. We come before you, God. We ask you to have your way. That you would, oh God, do a work, oh Lord. Bind us together, Lord, in this place. Let us come together as one body. Let us, amen, have unity and harmony with you and with one another, God. Bless our worship, our praise, our testimony. Bless the ministry of your word, God. Let the gifts of the Spirit be in operation, O Lord. Bless the man of God tonight. Quicken him, Lord, and use him. God, that he can speak, O Lord, as your oracle. Amen, God. And Lord, we gently give you the praise and the glory and honor, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it be done. Everybody give the Lord a hand clap.
My mother, the first lady, a very happy birthday. Happy birthday. So grateful. And second, my best friend in the whole world, Mr. Silas. Happy birthday, Silas. Amen. I'm really glad to be here. I started coming down with a bit of a cold. There was nothing that was going to keep me away tonight, though. I'm going to worship till my wheels fall off. And after they fall off, I'll be riding on my rims. Because there's nothing like the presence of the Lord, saints and I just know he wants to do something this evening. So let's give him a preacher tonight. Amen. Let's just have a good time in the Lord. Stay.
Jesus, oh my God. Call him up and tell him what you want. Jesus.
offerings.
Yes, Lord.
With it.
sing of the goodness of God.
Flesh burning as the pastor began to exhort.
Hallelujah.
Some of that flesh was mine. Admittedly.
Hallelujah.
Paul said, I have not been apprehended of that which I apprehend.
Right.
So you're not smart enough to have arrived.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Even Amen. Though sometimes you think you know everything, yeah. You don't.
Yeah. Amen.
A fool is known by the many words he speaks.
Yeah.
A wise man knows when to, who quoted that scripture? When to speak and when to be silent.
Oh, Sister Deborah.
Wow.
That's right.
So you must be wise because you're pretty silent.
Yeah.
You knew I was going there, didn't you?
That's good.
Snuck up on you, huh? Boy. Gotta be ready all the time, church.
Yeah.
At an hour that you think not,
right.
The evangelist is gonna take a poke at you.
Yeah.
All in fun. Good to get you to smile. You look better smiling.
Right, yes.
Thank you for being here. Let me make a few remarks before we get into the word of the Lord. Do you want to testify, my love? Stand up and testify in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of God. Mm-hmm. Once again this week, as it was said in the beginning, we've been looking forward to this time with expectation, just exactly what Sister Melissa said, anticipation, just really expecting God to move.
Hey, equal. So, we'll see.
It's been powerful.
Hallelujah.
But it's been good. I'm still looking forward to more. Those of you that haven't gotten anything, there's still time.
Amen. Amen.
In a room full of rocking chairs. I sense the fear of the Lord very heavily here tonight. Therefore, I am nervous to stand in such a place to understand that the very breath of God is here.
Amen.
Somewhere the Lord took Paul into the abode of God. He called it paradise.
Yep.
Sometimes you just catch a breath of that sense, the very nearness of God.
Yep. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Before I preach, I want to prophesy to this church.
Hallelujah.
While praying, the spirit of prophecy got a hold of me, and the Lord gave me something to give to you. And I'm talking to those of you that know exactly where the Lord is coming from. I have felt something very, very deeply different about these meetings.
Right.
This is not just another set of revival services.
Okay.
Even before we came to Vermilion, I felt like God was going to prepare us.
Yes.
And I said to the brethren this morning at the breakfast table, I said, this is just as much for us as it is the saints of God.
Amen.
Because the husbandman must be first partaker.
Yep.
That's the process of the way God works. We can't be willing to give something that we're not willing to receive ourselves.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And so the Lord told me to give this to us in preparation for what he wants to do and where he wants to take us 2024 is going to be an impactful year. There was a word of admonition that was laid upon the shoulders of a young man that was set into a position. His name was Joshua. And the word of the Lord that came to Joshua is the word of the Lord that I am to give to us tonight. He said to Israel, you have compassed this mountain long enough.
Yes.
And then he told them a certain direction to go.
Yes.
Yep.
He said, you've been everywhere else except this. He said, you need to go northward.
Amen.
You've been west, you've been east, you've been south, you've been all over the compass. But I'm telling you, turn northward.
Yes.
This word came to the leader of Israel at the commencement of their 40th year. Can you imagine wandering for 39
yes.
years?
Right. Woo!
Where was that mountain? Does anybody know? What specific mountain was he talking about?
Seir.
Mount Seir.
Yeah.
He said, I've directed you to go, but it seems over the years you've always come back to this certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you have is because you've allowed the gods of the inhabitants of Mount Seir to influence you.
Yeah.
And the gravitational pull of Mount Seir was greater than that of the voice of God.
Come on.
This is why the Lord said, you've been around this mountain way too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
It's time for us to mature in God.
Yes. Yes.
It's time for us to look northward.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I feel the Holy Ghost
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling better as I release myself
yeah.
from this
Hallelujah.
This burden
Hallelujah.
Right now. Amen. You've come back to this place time and again for 39 years
yeah.
because you are influenced by the gods of the inhabitants of the land.
Mm.
But if you'll go north, I'm going to elevate you into fulfillment.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Every one of us in this room have been prophesied to.
Hallelujah.
Somewhere somebody spoke a word to us
yes.
a week ago, 10 years ago. Hallelujah. It's been unfulfilled. But I'm prophesying to us, we are going to step into a season of fulfillment.
Yes, we are.
That's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
You are stepping into a season of fulfillment. You don't need to clap your hands. Just open your heart and receive from the Lord right
yeah.
now. He continued to tell Joshua, sanctify yourselves. We heard that word several times during this revival. Sanctify yourselves, for you have not been this way heretofore. You've not been here before, but I'm going to let you go somewhere that you have never been. And God is pouring out the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he's going to do it in a measure that people are going to receive it while you're preaching, while you're ministering. God's going to just redirect some things. Hallelujah. So it's important. Let me finish this with this. Thus saith the Lord. Ready yourself. Position yourself. Align yourself.
Yes.
Because placement matters. With this promise.
Yes. Amen.
So let's lift our hands right now. Let's just set ourselves to receive. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. You've been engaging the same things for 39 years. He said it's time to step into something different now. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. This ache way down in my spirit is leaving. Tell you, Okora, that's the saith the Lord. Mashabata katana na ma, basarobo shienda na masata yama na ma. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lift up your eyes unto the hills.
Hallelujah.
That's where your help comes from.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, my.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise
you. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I do want to say thank you for all of you that have labored. Your prayers, your sacrifice, your fasting, and your praying that has made a difference here.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And of course, to be privileged to minister in tandem with Pastor Luke Wethe.
Amen, Jesus. Thank you.
I thought, brother, we'd get ourselves a bus. Amen. Because we've done this before. And just call ourselves Mutton Jeff Ministry. And really confuse the devil. I don't know which of the two was better looking. But I know Jeff was the shorter one, so I must be the mutt. I count it a privilege. For those of you that have labored and provided meals, thank you. Thank you for your time, your sacrifice, the fellowship. We receive it, and you have blessed us very, very immensely. Thank you so much. And thank you, Pastor Harold Marshall, for creating this venue and inviting us to come. We are humbled and take it very seriously. So thank you very much. Give honor to the First Lady. She's birthdaying today.
Amen. Amen.
Happy birthday.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I could imagine your spiritual birthday is probably a lot more important than your physical birthday. Huh? So, amen. Thank the Lord for all of that. So let's find our Bibles. And while you pick up your sword, let's turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 12. Give honor to the ministry. Give honor to the saints of Living Stone. To all of you guests and visitors that are here, thank you for being here.
Amen.
Yes, thank you.
And I pray tonight we can say something that would be a blessing to you. Yes. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12. I'm going to read beginning at verse 13. When you have it, say, I found it.
Found it.
If you haven't, say, wait. Everybody's got it? They said unto him, or they sent unto him, certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words.
Right.
And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true. Carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth.
Yes.
Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? This was the question. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me?
Yes.
Bring me a penny. Somebody say a penny.
A penny.
That I may see it. And they brought it. He saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.
Yes.
And they marveled at him.
Amen.
Amen.
Consider that for a moment.
Yes.
And turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. And I will read there, while you're standing, very quickly, verse number 8, Luke 15. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors, say to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece. Somebody say the piece.
Yes.
One little penny. That which I lost, I have found it. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
Amen.
For a few moments, I want you to bind with me in prayer. I want to minister on a simple thought here out of Luke 15. The lost coin. The lost coin. Lord Jesus, if somehow we could articulate this in our words so carefully, oh, so acceptably, would bring life, encouragement, strength, deliverance, healing. For a few moments here, God, as we speak, let it be anointed. Anoint this congregation, God. Let it do what you intended it to do. Far beyond our human ability. Far beyond our capability, God. Anoint us tonight. Help us to receive. Prepare the soil of our hearts. We pray, God. Whatever it is you desire to do tonight, God, do not leave it unfulfilled. Give us a heart to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Thank you for standing. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, the lost coin.
The lost coin.
Not a lot of significance to it. I heard Brother Larry Booker say something years ago, and so I practiced it. He said, wherever I go and I find a penny, he said, I pick it up because it reminds me of where the Lord found me.
Yes.
Right. You find them in the gutter, you find them in the car washes. Mm-hmm. People hurriedly digging out their change will drop a penny, a nickel, a dime. The people will pick up the nickel and dime, but they'll leave the penny.
Right.
Yep. I want to talk about that penny tonight. Right. How many's thankful that when you see that penny, why don't you start practicing that?
Right.
Yep. So my wife and I do, and we see a penny, we pick it up.
Amen.
We throw it into the jar.
Yep.
Let's just lift our hand to the Lord and say, thank you,
thank you, Jesus,
that you care about the little coin.
Right. Amen.
The lost coin. For your consideration, I want you to think about this whole chapter of Luke 15. We're not going to read it. But it begins to, in its dialogue, include three things. The first thing was sheep. Talked about a sheep that went astray. And the shepherd left 99 other sheep to go look after one. And then we read about the coin, that this poor woman had 10 coins. And she could have held on to the other 9 and said, it's okay, I've lost the one. But something about the lost coin caused her to search so desperately that she lit a candle, found the broom, and began to sweep every corner of the house and search so diligently until she found it. And then when she found it, she was so happy she called her friends who probably had no idea that she was searching for this coin. She called them up and said, listen, I lost one of my 10. I found it. Will you come over and let's party a little while? Somebody say the lost coin.
The lost coin.
And then the last one in that chapter was son. In each case, the reason for the loss was different. The sheep, the coin, and the son. They were different. You can imagine this. I want you to consider what Luke has recorded in his gospel. A sheep was a comparatively precious object. It was so valuable that it included 1% of what the man had.
Yes.
He left the 99% to go look after the one.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
The coin was simply a piece of money of inconsiderable value. Yet it had a value to this poor woman who only had 10 of them. She forgot about the 9 to search for the 1, That's 1 out of 10. Mm-hmm. That's 10%.
Yes.
My. Mm-hmm. And then the lost son's value was incalculable. You couldn't put a price to that one son. There were two of them. 50%. But the difference is, in consideration to the son, nobody went searching for him. Nobody got a broom and went looking for the son.
Amen.
The shepherd didn't leave the 99 to go find the son. I'm giving this to you to lay a foundation. I want you to consider this, the importance of the percentage that's involved in this parable. No one went searching for him. Why? You ever wondered that? You read about the sheep, you read about the coin, and you read about the prodigal son. Why is it that nobody went after him? Because unlike sheep and unlike the coin, the son was a free moral agent. Unlike the sheep, he had a choice. Unlike the coin, he had a choice. He was a free moral agent who could understand right from wrong. The sheep didn't. The coin didn't, but the young man did. He understood right from wrong, and even though that was the case, he still asked for his share of the inheritance. You know the story. He goes out and he, of course, one definition of prodigal is waster or wasteful. He just went out and blew it all. Somebody say he went out and blew it all. He sure did. So he had free moral agency. He could choose between good and evil. But here it is, brothers and sisters. He would be held responsible for his actions.
That's right.
There's consequences to everything we do.
That's right.
Whether good or whether evil.
That's right.
Can you say that with me? There are consequences.
There are consequences.
We have all been there.
Amen.
We're not here because we've always made the right choices.
That's right.
We're here because of the mercy of God.
That's right.
We're here because of the grace of God.
Amen.
We're not here because we know the right people.
Yeah.
We're here because we know Him.
Yeah.
And even more beautiful, He knows us.
Hallelujah.
He loves you so much, He called you the apple of His eye. Insignificant little old me, I'm the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
So there are consequences. Can I talk to us tonight?
Yes.
Consequences of bad choices
Amen.
That you have made have caught up to you.
Yep.
That's why you're here tonight.
Yes.
You've made some bad choices. Maybe you didn't mean to. Maybe you were duped into a trap, but nevertheless, you made a choice. Now those choices have caught up to some of us.
Yeah.
And then you compound that with the devil. You know how he works.
Yeah.
And the voices in your head.
Yes.
How many know what those are?
Yeah.
And then how many of you had people that said, you won't make it?
Come on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. Amen.
So I feel like tonight that I'm reaching for somebody that feels like that your dreams and your hope and your dignity has been shattered.
Yes.
Come on.
Woo. Somebody pray with me.
Hallelujah.
Somebody preach with me tonight.
Amen.
And the devil has told you irreversibly and irrevocably there is no help for you. And so God gave me a message for someone tonight to let you know that regardless of whether it's people or regardless of whether it's the devil or the voices in your head, they are all lying to you. We serve a God that is willing to take a risk. Amen. Let me clarify that statement by saying this. Consider what happened in that dialogue that this writer was given to us about the young man that wasted his living.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you read there, he's talking to himself. There's servants at my father's that have it better than I do. And so he's laying there, conjuring, thinking of what he's going to say. Dad, I'm willing to be a servant. I'll come back and I'll feed the dogs. I don't like cats, but I'll feed the cats.
Great.
I just want to come back. And he's rehearsing all of this and trying to get something in alignment with what he's going to say to his dad. The reception of the father by the son, given that storyline in the book of Luke, was totally unanticipated. Because the first thing he was expecting was rejection. And in the eyes of that culture, uncalled for. He managed to secure a job working for a pagan swine farmer, an occupation abhorred by the Jews, who considered these animals unclean according to the Mosaic law. So here's a backslid Hebrew working in the hog pen. Not only is he disobedient, but my goodness, he's tending to something that is an abomination.
That's right.
And so I'm sure there's nights he laid there and said, there's no way my father will take me back. But the Bible said there came a turning point when Luke said he came to himself. I will tell you what I told somebody here just not long ago. They were talking about the devil this and the devil that. I said, did you know that there is a greater power that can overrule the verdict of the enemy? And if you're so emphatic about giving the devil glory, let me tell you this, that the devil may have you right where God wants you. Some of you didn't get that. Let it soak in here right now. And the very thing you're wishing away is the thing that drew you to where you're at right now. The bad choice. The pain, the hurt, the agony. The very thing you're wishing away, God said, hold on. Don't wish too hard, because that's the very thing that is attracting me to you. You want the pain gone? Hold on, baby. That's the thing that got my attention. So here is the prodigal son. But the father risked it all. At least two things, probably more, that I'm sure of. Consider this, that when he stood there that day, standing on the front balcony of his house, he looked off into the horizon and he saw a figure coming. And don't you think for one minute that daddy doesn't know how his children walk.
That's right.
I recognize that gait. I know who that is. I know exactly who that is. And he was so grateful to see this backslider coming home. But the Bible said he didn't stay on the front porch. Sister Taryn, he jumped off the front porch and went running. No, we're not worthy, but God knows what we need. And we're serving a God tonight that is willing to come running for you, backslider. Willing to come running for you, lukewarm. Willing to come and meet you in your need right now. The Bible says, these are Luke's words, when he was yet a great way off. He didn't wait for him to come into the door. He met him out there. He had compassion on him. Oh my God, I've had to search my heart to make sure that I've got compassion for everybody.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He didn't walk, he ran. Somebody say he ran.
He ran.
and he risked his reputation, the father did, and the ritual cleanliness by falling upon the neck of his backslid son, knowing that he'd been tending to hogs. Right. The Mosaic law says you can't do that.
Right.
Yep. A clean thing can't touch an unclean thing.
Right.
But the father said, listen, that's my son.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And if this God, the representation of this God that is so holy, is willing to reach down into the trash of the world and love on somebody that has messed up, amen, that has made a wreck of their life, and he's willing to reach down and say, I love you, you're one of mine. What's wrong with us?
Yes.
Well, let me ask myself the question, what's wrong with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus. It's time tonight, church.
Hallelujah.
Amen. People aren't your problem. We've been in churches all over this nation.
Yes.
That were in civil war.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The right against the left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
One click against another click.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And then you try to sift through all of the chaos.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you understand it's not people that's doing this.
Come on.
They're just being used by a force that they don't see.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I come to serve notice on the devil. That we're going to put a stop to this war called civil war.
Yeah.
You're not my enemy. You're not my enemy. So I'm not going to treat you like one. I'm not going to act like that I'm better than you are. I'm not going to act like that I'm superior to you. And look down my big nose at you.
Amen.
I'm coming back to the coin.
Amen.
I'm coming back to the coin. Oh, Jesus, let's love him. Oh, I feel compassion here tonight. I understand the assignment ahead of me, and I understand the task that has been laid out in front of me in prayer. I sense it. I understand it. Somebody pray with me tonight. Oh my. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus.
Since when can we pull mercy out of God's hand and determine who can come and who can't? Since when are we the ones that put on the judge's garment to say, you're not welcome here? If there was a holy God that loved on a backslid son who worked in a hog's pen, what's wrong with us that we can't love the sinner? What's wrong with us that we can't love the backslider and say, yes, you've hurt me. I know you said things about me, but I'm still going to love you anyway. Because love covers a multitude of sins.
You
know what's going to bring revival? Repentance.
Yes.
My pastor said something several weeks ago that just resonated in my spirit. He said, repentance is not God's backup plan in case we fail.
Amen.
He said, repentance is his plan because he knows we will.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right.
You never failed. You're a hypocrite.
Come on.
That's right.
And so therefore, I'm preaching to all of us.
Yeah.
Myself first. Yeah. And somebody said amen.
Amen.
The coin. Somebody say the coin.
The coin.
A symbol of the human soul.
Yes.
The coin is what it is. Because it has the king's image on it.
Yeah.
The superscription belongs to somebody that's got authority.
Yes.
This coin can be identified with the inscription that's on it. It belongs to the king.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say the coin.
The coin
belongs to the king.
Yes.
Man is precious because we too have an image and a superscription from the King of Kings.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo!
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's why I pick up a penny everywhere I go.
Yes.
Because I remember where the Lord found me.
Yes.
I remember the miserable wreck that I was.
Yes.
And so when I pick up a penny, I lift my hand and say, thank you, Lord. You didn't have to do it, but you did. I'm being deliberate tonight, so just pray with me.
Yes.
I want to make sure that you get this. So God created man in his own image.
Yes, right.
In the image of God created he him.
Yes.
You are the image of God, not the image of Satan.
Right.
So stop thinking like Satan.
Yeah. Amen.
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 If we're created in the image of God, then we live by the grace of God, not the grace of the devil.
That's right.
I don't roll the dice every morning I wake up.
Right.
I lift my hands and thank God for mercy.
Yeah.
I don't flip over the tarot card. And I don't look at what my horoscope says. I go to the Word of God because I'm made in His image. I don't touch beads and feathers and have to touch a wall. I just lift my hands because I'm created in the image of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So look at your neighbor and say, you're created.
You're
in the image of God.
You're created.
You're beautiful. Way somewhere deep down in the heart of hearts, you are a beautiful person.
That's right.
Even though sometimes you were a pain in the fill in the blank. There is a special significance in the fact that the coin, somebody say the coin.
The coin.
Was lost in the house.
Right.
Was lost in the house.
Mm-hmm. Lost in the house.
How many people are lost in the house tonight? And the condemning voice of Satan says, don't do that because you've messed up, remember?
Right.
But somewhere there's another voice that's penetrating that dark voice of hopelessness that says, you can do that because I died for you.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You can do that because I love you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You walked away from me. You spurned me. You wanted the world more than you wanted me, but I still love you.
Yes.
Amen.
You loved your alcohol and drugs more than you loved me. You love men and women more than you love me, but I still love you.
Yes.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, the old songwriter said, is Jesus standing somewhere, waiting in line patiently. After you have burnt yourself out, you don't know where to go when the world hates you. Nobody cares about you. Somewhere in the house that coin is laying. Oh my.
Jesus.
A lost coin. Somebody say a lost coin.
A lost coin.
Wasn't just in the sense of being without direction or being misplaced. It is the Greek word apalume. Means so many things, but I'll give you a couple of meanings. Ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Addiction has beaten you down. And because of the company that you surround yourself with, you're forgotten just like they are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You have slipped through the proverbial cracks.
Uh-huh.
You have faded into insignificance. I'm talking to somebody tonight that you have questioned your own relevance and your importance to your family and to your church. And you stand aloof. Thinking that if I distance myself, I'll be okay.
Yes.
But God didn't redeem us just to be okay.
Yes.
God redeemed us to pull us out of sin.
Yes.
You know what we all should be doing tonight, really, after four nights of revival?
Yep.
Our hands should be in the air.
Yep.
Our mouths should be set wide open. We ought to be thanking God for what he's been doing. But I'm going to tell you why some of us can. Because we are that lost coin. And we're lost inside the house. You look good. You're dressing right. Your sleeve length is right. Your dress length is right. But you're lost. You even speak in tongues. You say, brother, that's pretty extreme. I say that because I've heard Satan mimic tongues. You know when it's real fruit and spoiled fruit, you can tell by what spirit they're of. It's more than just speaking in tongues, folks.
Amen.
I said the other night, it's about having a mind that's balanced. You want to end on a little secret as to how this pastor and these brethren make it? You wake up with a made up mind. We understand that not everybody likes us, but as long as he loves us, we understand that not everybody's going to say, oh yeah, I like him. No, we know there's some that talk about us and say things about us, but that doesn't cause us to backslide. We wake up with a made up mind because we understand this. Our name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. We're not waking with hangovers, waking up with hangovers anymore. Are you aloof tonight? You're here, but you're not.
Come on.
I'm talking to you. I'm watching your body language even as I preach.
Amen.
What are you after?
Come on.
Jesus isn't just another fix. Jesus is a way of life. I guess if they threw us into the AA program, Pastor, we'd still be recovering. I'm not recovering. I've been set free. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so I'm reaching for someone tonight. It's like that lost coin. You're here, but you're lost. You're here, but you're distant. You're here, but seemingly nobody hears you. Lift your hands right now with me. I'm asking all of you.
Hallelujah.
I would to God that all of us could lift our hands and say, Lord, I don't want to be aloof. I don't want to be distanced from you.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm preaching about the coin.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
There are people who become things rather than persons.
That's right.
They have given up their will to live and therefore have become inanimate. There's no life.
That's right.
You allow your mistakes and your past failures and your present circumstances to dictate you and tell you how you should feel. Stay in bed, draw the shades, don't wake up, you're depressed. Go get another fix. That's the only way you're going to be able to deal with life. We become things because we become inanimate. And the devil tells us, don't fight, it's not worth it. But I want to rise above the enemy tonight and let you know, you better fight. You better shake yourself, honey, and tell yourself, I am worth dying for. I am worth living for. I am a child of God. I've been created in his image. I feel a desperation because the ultimate, the extreme to all of this is when you have talked about suicide.
Come on.
There's people in this room that are fighting suicidal spirits.
Come on.
And thoughts.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's more than just having a good time in revival. Right. It's being aligned with God so we can see people come in here and find deliverance just like we did.
Yeah.
Find hope just like we did.
Yeah.
Somebody to get a hold of God for me because I can't for myself.
Can we lift our hands?
Hallelujah.
Perhaps the spirit of intercessory will hit you. We become things rather than people. We're hard. We've built up walls. We've drawn lines in the proverbial dirt, only to find out we have hemmed ourselves in. We have become inanimate. All of this beautiful music and worship and praise, this beautiful preaching that these, amen, us brethren have brought, amen, there are still some that are disconnected.
Yes.
Your battle today was with your past.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
Your battle today was with the voice of addiction.
That's right.
That laughed at you and said, what are you doing? Going to revival.
Yeah.
Don't you know you're an addict?
Yeah.
Can I serve a subpoena on the devil right now to let him know God didn't create you to be an addict? God didn't create you to be a loser. You're not a loser tonight. You have someone in the house that loves you and cares for you. God put this church in Vermillion, South Dakota as a hospital. And where do people go when they're sick? They go to the hospital. If they can't come here and find healing, we're doing the wrong thing.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Let's just love on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Thank you, Lord.
You made mistakes.
Hallelujah.
So what?
Hallelujah.
Jesus,
we've all failed. We all woke up this morning facing circumstances.
Amen.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. The thing about it is that the coin, it was not that the coin was lost of itself. It was a gravitational force that caused it to fall out of the hand of this woman. It was a gravitational pull. And so it fell. It hit and it rolled into some dark corner. I began to consider this as the Holy Ghost was speaking to me. The coin had no power to resist. It was a victim of gravitational pull. I rise tonight to tell some precious soul, you're not a thing. You were created in the image of God.
Amen.
Let me say it again, you're not a failure. You being here tonight was by the design of God. Someone invited you, yes, but it's because God prodded someone to invite you to come. God wanted you here because he wants to deliver you. You are not an alcoholic. You are not a statistic. You are a child of God. And so you may be in a dark corner right now, disconnected and aloof from the things of God. So God sent some preachers.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we've got a broom in our hand. And we have been sweeping the corners. Not only from behind this desk, but early this morning. Talking to the Lord about you. Wondering what this man here has been praying. God, put us in alignment to the burden of the man of God. Wondering what all of you have been praying about these meetings. Knowing that we're not here to play church. We're not just here to have a good time. Listen to this beautiful praise team sing us to sleep. No, we're here on spiritual warfare. We've made up our mind. They're worth fighting for. We made up our mind that that's where God found me. That's where I was before I received the Holy Ghost. I was insecure. I was dysfunctional. I didn't have it all together. I didn't know which way was up. But when God got a hold of me, when God found me in the corner.
Jesus, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, thank you.
Let me level the playing ground here tonight. You and I, whatever station in life, whatever age, whatever occupation here on earth, whatever career we might have or don't have, we are all exposed to the same conditions.
Amen.
And I'll give you scripture. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But he will with the temptation make a way to escape.
Amen.
You know why a lot of times God doesn't remove the fear? Because it's the only thing keeping you in church.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Oh, amen. Wrestling in the wee hours of the morning, wondering why. God said it's because you got to take up your cross, honey.
Yes.
So if we are all exposed to the same temptations, one yields and is ruined, while the other resists and is lifted up and strengthened. What's the difference? There is the stone in Matthew 21 and 44. He said you can either build on it or that stone's going to crush you. What's the difference? It's a made up mind. I'm not going to let that stone of judgment fall on me because I'm going to stand on it. If they backslide, I'm going to stand. If my wife quits, I'm going to stand. If my best friend quits, I'm going to stand. I don't want this stone to be a stumbling block. I want to build off of it. My babies need it. My grandchildren need it.
Amen.
Amen.
So what's the difference? Is it prestige and position?
No.
The choice is yours tonight, brothers and sisters. Young men, young women. Either you rule it or it's going to rule you.
That's right. Yes.
Amen.
But there's a coin, several coins here tonight.
Yeah.
You enjoy the blessing of God, and there's nothing wrong with feeling good, but I didn't come just to feel good.
That's right. Amen.
Mom.
I came to get in touch with the Master.
Yes.
And I wonder tonight,
yes,
if somebody's ready to say, I'm ready for deliverance tonight.
Amen. Woo! Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
The first thing he did was light a candle. Or the woman, not he, but she lit a candle. The candle is symbolic of the Urim and the Thummim of Leviticus 8 and 8. Read it for yourself. This candle here in the Gospel of Luke, in our text reading, is symbolic of the Urim and the Thummim of Leviticus 8 and 8. The Lord put upon Aaron and his sons this breastplate. The breastplate of Urim and Thummim. One was flames. One was a burning light. Lights to light up the way. And this woman lit a candle. She lit a candle because it was the candle that was going to reveal where she could find this lost coin. You know what the Urim and the Thummim is? It's not only lights, but it's perfections. And it is complete truth. And so this man stood up last night and he was sweeping the house with the preaching of the word. He was taking revelation and he was sweeping every corner. He was reaching, looking for that coin. That's what we're doing tonight while we're preaching. We're sweeping the house. We're lighting a candle. We're coming for you, baby. You don't have to stay addicted. You don't have to stay guessing whether or not Jesus really accepts you. Just get full of the Holy Ghost. Repent of your sin and be baptized in Jesus' name. Perfection's the emblem of complete truth. Let me say this because we think we know so much.
Yep.
Truth is not relative.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Truth is not relative. Mm-hmm. It is not conditional.
Nope.
It is not subjective. And it doesn't change over time.
That's right.
Absolute truth is consistent, universal, and eternal.
Yes.
How can it be eternal?
Right.
Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
Amen.
Therefore, this line of truth never changes.
Right.
You want to find out if you're doing it right?
No.
Don't ask the Democrats.
Amen.
Oh, that's right.
Don't ask the Republicans.
Yeah,
don't ask the independents.
Yeah.
Ask Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't ask somebody that's going to agree with you on Facebook. Am I doing okay? Do I look okay? Ask Jesus.
Amen.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul told Timothy in the church of Ephesus, he said, the truth is in Jesus.
Yeah.
So I like this one. You shall know the truth.
Yes.
And the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
But here's the key, honey. You're going to have to fight for it.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
You're going to have to make your mind up tonight that I'm sick and tired of waking up with the hangover.
Yes.
I'm sick and tired of wasting my whole check on nothing.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because I used to be there.
Yep.
But tonight I can wake up when I've been drunk in the Holy Ghost. And I was there the other night, but I didn't wake up with a hangover. Staggered into the motel room, wake up feeling just mighty fine. Somebody say it's not philosophy.
It's not philosophy.
It's not idealism.
No, not
it's not edict.
No.
It's not creed.
No.
It's not the tradition of men.
That's right.
I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. It's not even religion.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
Preaching.
Amen.
It's not even religion.
Yep.
Amen.
You were in religion.
Yeah.
So was I.
Amen.
Ringing bells, Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You don't know who we were praying to until Jesus found us.
Yeah.
Somebody said, when I found the Lord, you didn't even know who you were looking for.
Amen.
He found you in your misery.
Yeah.
He found you in your pain. He came down to where you're at. Saints could be lost in the house.
That's right.
Yes.
Preachers can be lost in the house.
Yeah.
Amen.
Preachers' wives can be lost in the house.
Yeah.
Song leaders can be lost in the house.
Yeah.
Praise teams can be lost in the house.
Yeah.
Right.
You sound good.
Yeah. Yep.
Come on.
Yes.
Yep.
Amen.
Am I right, Pastor?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
If I'm going to be lost, Brother Wethy,
I'm
going to go out in the world and be lost.
Amen.
God forbid that I be lost here in the house of God.
Yeah.
Sit so close to something so beautiful and be so miserable.
Yes.
I defy that spirit of the enemy that says you can't have it. Tonight's your night.
Yeah.
You'll just keep fighting and pulling back the layers.
Yeah.
If you need to repent 100 times, repent 100 times.
Yeah.
Just don't give up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I repented 6 months ago. What about tonight?
Hallelujah.
Let's take a moment. Let's repent.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah.
Repentance is a change of mind.
Yes.
When you change your mind, your heart follows. The frantic sweeping is what the ministry is doing tonight through the foolishness of preaching. That preaching reaches to every corner. Seen and unseen, known and unknown, every nook and every cranny. Not a one of us can conceal anything in the presence of God.
That's right.
Because in the presence of God, where His glory is, there are no shadows.
Yes.
Woo!
That's right.
That's right.
No shadows.
Take that lust out.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come
Dig that prejudice out.
Yeah.
Icky old prejudice. Ooh, 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 ooh. Dig that unforgiveness out.
Yeah.
Why are you mad at them anyway?
Yeah.
You did the same thing they did.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Just get mad at the devil.
Yeah.
Amen.
Get mad at the devil.
Yeah.
Say, I want my family back.
Yeah.
He had to make a decision. I'm going to get right. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to put myself in a position where God will bless me. Backslider, would you come tonight? Lukewarm. Hallelujah. I'm not here to condemn you. I am not here to judge you. But I am doing my part to sweep, to look for the coin. Leave the safety of the 99 to just go look for one. Are we willing to do that tonight? Would you come to this altar and say, Lord, I need to change my thinking. I need to change my spirit, my attitude. The devil's got some of you fighting against one another. Your focus is on a wrong thing. You need to be fighting him. Some of you haven't even talked for so long and you attend the same church. God's not pleased with the tolerance level. He wants us to love one another. Could we pray through tonight, church? Picture it as your baby with cancer. You're going to hold him a little closer. You're going to cry a little deeper tonight. Sis, brother, come on. It's no accident you're here tonight. Come on. Just surrender. Just surrender. Just surrender. Don't complicate it. Just come surrender. Surrender your life to God. Let him fill you with the Holy Ghost. They got the water tank ready in the next room. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Don't reduce yourself to just a thing. You're a person. You're a human being tonight. You're made in the image of God.